I call the Unalaska Crab Incorporated annual meeting to order at 6 p.m. Like a roll call, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Turiakov?
Here. We do have a quorum. This time I'd like a motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
I move to adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle and seconded by Councilman Luby. Without objection, the agenda is approved. This time I'd like motions to approve the September 26, 2023 minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of September 26, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Coleman. Is there any objections to approving the minutes of September 26, 2023? Hearing no objections, the minutes are approved. At this time, I'll make a motion and a second to approve Resolution 2023-02, Election of Officers for Unalaska Crab, Inc.
Move to adopt Resolution 2023-02, Election of Officers.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Tungle. Need a motion to amend to insert the names of the officers to be elected.
They're in the resolution.
They are in the resolution, and at this time, there are no objections or discussion. Hearing no discussion or objection, need a roll call vote, please.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
A roll call vote of 6-0, the resolution 2023-02 for the Unalaska Crab Incorporated has been approved. Without further business, this meeting for the Unalaska City Council, Crab Incorporated is now adjourned. 6:03 p.m. I call to order the Unalaska City Council meeting for November 14th. I have a roll call, please.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Roll call vote 6-0. The agenda has been the roll call. We do have a quorum. This time, please join me as Councilman Tungle will lead us in Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. I'd like to welcome all the visitors this evening to council chambers and those that are online. Thank you all for being here. Next item is the awards and presentations. This time I ask Mr. Dennis Robinson, Vice Mayor, former Vice Mayor, to step up front.
I read a few of them.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for being here, Stephen Dennis. And deep appreciation for your dedicated service to the city of Unalaska. Dennis M. Robinson has served for Unalaska for 18 years as a member of the city council. He has been appointed as vice mayor since 2018. During his tenure, Mr. Robinson's love for his community has been evident. His fellow council members consider it an honor to serve alongside of him, and they will miss his wisdom, knowledge, and experience. Mr. Robinson's professionalism, dedication has been of exceptional value to the city of Unalaska. The mayor, your fellow council members, chief city staff, and community of Unalaska, thank you for 18 years of dedicated service. Thank you very much, Mr. Robinson.
Great. Thank you. I'll be here. I mean, this is not my first rodeo, so accomplish more not sitting up there than you can, and I don't intend on leaving the community, as I've always told all council members, my long term far differs from everybody else's long term. It's my great grandchildren's great grandchildren. So those are the people I serve. Thank you. Appreciate this.
All right. Thank you, Dennis, and good luck. Next item on our agenda is the adoption of the agenda. I need a motion and a second to approve the agenda as presented.
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Bell. Are there any objections? Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I would like to remove off of the consent agenda a resolution 2023-44 with where the manager is entering into a contract with Barry Dunn, and move it to the November 28th meeting after the public hearing and second reading of resolution 2023-11. Ordinance 2023-11, sorry. And the reason for that is just that it's a procedural thing to approve a contract without the budget amendment. So that's the reasoning.
I will second.
Been moved and seconded to remove ordinance.
Resolution 2023-44 and schedule it on November 28th after the second reading and of ordinance 2023-11.
Oh, I see. Okay. It's just this procedural issue we're dealing with. So move to remove resolution 2023-44 to the next meeting.
Yeah.
Discussion.
We can move it off the consent agenda. I think we could all have to. This might be a timing thing, so I don't know if I want to.
Procedure wise,
hi. This is Bill Humka. I'm looking at Roger. It doesn't seem like it will be, and I understand. There's been a difference of philosophy over the years, and this wanting to make sure we have the money in the account before we sign it, even if it's only a few thousand off, is fine, and it's not going to hold up our contract.
Okay, I have no objection.
Councilman Bell?
Yeah, that was my same concern. Is it would it affect the signing of any contract? And appearing no, I suppose I can support this.
Just for clarity, this will move into the next regular agenda on
November 28th.
November 28th. Okay, thank you. For the second reading. Any objections? Hearing none, I need a roll call vote. Move resolution 2023-44 to the 28th of November.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 6-0, resolution 2023-44 is now moved to November 28th, second reading on the agenda. Any further changes on the agenda or additions? Guess I can't put any, but all right. And a roll call vote on the approval of the agenda.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And the motion was to adopt the agenda as amended, and as roll call votes 6-0 in favor of amending it. This time we'll move on to the approval of the minutes of the previous meetings. I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of October 24th, 2023 and November 7th, 2023 meeting.
I move to approve minutes of previous meetings, October 24th, 2023 and November 7th, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Longo to approve the previous minutes of October 24th and November 7th of 2023. Is there any objection? Hearing none, no objection. The proposed minutes have been approved. Next item is the city manager report, and I'll turn this over to Mr. Humphrey.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. I provided two pages of things that have kind of been going on, and I'll just highlight on a few. I think I forwarded you some information about the geothermal project, and our team is analyzing that now. We'll be calling our meetings together with some people to understand what it means to us and how to proceed, so you'll see some of that from us here shortly. I would like to point out that the CEM breakwaters that are out there still need work, and it makes me a little nervous. I'm proud to say that the staff didn't want to let it go through another winter and see damage occur to that, and so I'd like to share that several of our employees, including Peggy McLaughlin, Scott Brown, Mark Kilmeyer, and Patrick Bliss, went out and to try and assess what kind of damage can be averted through this winter while we hope that the Army Corps will come up with the funds to finish that project. It's still not, my understanding is it's still not actually been signed over to us because of this issue, and that's a long time happening. So I think while we're in Washington, that's one of the things we want to talk to our Army Corps friends about, and what, when is that going to be resolved? Same thing for, they were out there doing an assessment of the mooring buoy, and they did some quick repairs for that. And you can see the included a response to Senator Sullivan's inquiry about having a permanent duty station here for the families and Coast Guards, and there's a report. Basically, that's the same information that we received the week that the Japanese Navy was here and the Rear Admiral was here on his way out. He was going to another assignment, but all of those reasons were cited as why they're not coming. We can debate some of those, but some of the others are what they are. And we're making some headway on the staffing, even though you may not feel it, but I think I said last time it's the positions and which ones are vacant versus not having as many critical ones. Certainly the lineman is still an issue. It's a contract I wanted to get on tonight, and I just wasn't able to resolve it to my own satisfaction, so it would be not confusing between what we're trying to do, what Optimera needs, and with our own attorneys, but that's more on me. And then travel, and I bring this up because I'll be traveling with most of you to, some of you to AML and then to DC. And if you think about that, what does that mean to our meeting schedule? We're going into the holidays, and I think we might want to consider, I don't think we'd be able to have a meeting when three of you are in Washington, be 4 hours different. We need to have when we can. I would almost think, and then the next regularly scheduled one is the day after Christmas. So I'm wondering if you want to schedule one for the Tuesday in between, December 19th. It's a little off our calendar, but at least we know it's not while we're traveling or the day after. And then we can always see if you still want to have the one the day after, but of Christmas, I should say. So I wanted to point that out to you. And that's all my report has to say at this point.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments? City Manager. Councilman Luby, then Councilman Bell.
I was just curious how we were doing with the financial reports. Are we going to see something pretty soon? I don't think we've seen anything for quite a while, like maybe May, or it's been a while. And I know that with Patricia just coming on and getting up to speed that it's taken, it'll take some time.
If I don't answer it right, Patricia, it'll please come up. But I think we found out that there were quite a few journal entries that were, if I'm saying the right thing, were not completed. And so in something gave somewhere, and now we find out that's one of the things that was giving. And we have to get all of those entered before we can actually close that out. So that's what they're working on right now, so then they can present all of that to you.
Okay, great. I was just kind of curious if we had a timeline or something. So,
well, it's, of course, as soon as possible, but I'll get you on as soon as we have a date that we think we'll meet.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Levy. Councilman Bell?
I just start off, and I would agree with trying to counsel or having another council meeting somewhere in the month of December, following week after the DC trip, somewhere in there, just so we don't go a long period of time without addressing anything that we may need to address. The other subject I wanted to bring touch on was the geothermal, and maybe ask the city manager on where he thinks we should be going with this, or if there's a timeline on having any kind of discussion or meetings on potential amendments to the PPA.
I've had a brief discussion, I think, with our legal counsel. We've had many on other subjects, and I've just kind of pointed out that this one has come up. We've got some new folks, and even though you know this has been out there, it's been one that I've watched on the back burner. I have my own homework to do. I've talked with Chris Laddick, of course, because he is one that's helped me know, at least from the city side, kind of how to look at some of this and what to look for and who else to ask. I think I'm still waiting for some information from OC, but it's not something that we're going to sit on. I think we just want to see there's some new terms that they're requesting, and we want to understand what that means to us before we even come here and try and have a meaningful dialogue with council and the public. So I would say in the next month, we should be ready to go. I did get an email from Dave Matthews a week after, just a little over a week, and he saw that I had it on just my manager report and kind of prompted me. It's like there's a timeline. So I don't know exactly what theirs is, but I mean, I'm not looking to hold them up. I just want to be sure we're in a good position and understand what these proposed new terms mean and be able to bring our team in here and talk with all of them and you about how to move forward. I hope that answers the question, but I don't have a concrete answer yet.
No, and that is helpful. I mean, moving forward on this, this is an opportunity to get in back into this agreement and discuss with all the parties. My personal opinion is this, the way this is set up, needs to change. There was a lot of discussion throughout the whole process, and many parts of the whole project that many people don't agree with as being realistic or don't agree with the numbers. One part, you know, being the flow from the wells and that data being 50 years old. There's a lot of data out there from previous attempts at this to get an idea on where this project, the geothermal type projects have gone in the past. My personal opinion in moving forward is a more workable solution or a more workable agreement is some kind of input with the city, the processors, having some stake in the project, I think would help in the long run, especially in anybody getting financing for this project. So I look forward to having more discussion on this, and you know, I don't want to sound negative on this because I'm definitely in support of this project, and it has the potential to stabilize our utility rates, our electric rates for many years to come. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bill. Councilman Tungle.
I do agree. I think we should have a meeting at this one in December just to get everybody caught up on everything. But my other question is, I see we got about 24 openings with different departments. How many are being entertained or being processed in getting somebody hired on some of these positions?
Honestly, as you were asking that, I thought, which one did you apply for? But...
Well, I've been turned down a few times, so I'm trying to quit on it.
So as I look through that, I think, you know, the one we're just getting moving on, we just got moving on the utility director search, and it's a key position, obviously, in regards to not just our existing system, but we'll be looking for someone who has some understanding of what we're trying to do out here with diversification of our energy sources, whether it's geothermal or others. But I don't have any names in the hat for that one yet. We haven't actually gone out to, I have a survey from the group that we've hired to help us with the search. And I've got a couple people that they want me to solicit input from. And I think really what we're looking for is what has worked in the past, what hasn't in terms of management, knowledge, skills. We do ask for quite a, you know, all these jobs have prerequisites. We work with some of them to try and hire local and try and promote from within. I'm not seeing that on this one. So I don't have a complete answer for you. That's my probably my biggest concern. And then is, of course, the lineman position. And I think you didn't have it this evening, but I've said to several of you, I really think for that, we need to understand how we got in the position we got in and then how we're going to get out. Optimera would like a longer term contract, and I can't see how we can really do that without knowing where we're going or how. So you'll see the next meeting a contract extension for 1 year, and then we'll go out to RFP for one for 3 to 5. I don't see that getting fixed in the next year or two, depending on the issues that I'm hearing about. Some of them are labor organization issues, how you wrestle with those to look attractive. Some are salary, or maybe some others. So that's not an easy one to fix so much as maybe some of the other positions I've been working with to help resolve. We do have a couple hires. I think, you know, we filled some of the admin assistants. They just haven't started. And really, I think finance, Patricia hasn't been here too long, what to do with the controller. You know, those people have done a lot of work up there without a controller, without a finance director. And I know Patricia's working to try and get that back into the lanes that how it's set up to operate. And don't really, DPS, again, they're, as you know, we constantly seem to be hiring people and then people are leaving. But I know we're in a search mode right now for additional officers. And planning is the one that I would say, the GIS administrator, I believe I've mentioned this before, but Cameron, who's our director now, that was his job. I'm trying to decide with him how we can maybe redeploy that for now to do some other things and get some maximum value out of that position. And you'll see some of these come to you because there are some ideas about how to realign some of the functions that we're doing based on, I mean, the structure is now what it's been. And we're doing a lot of things. For number one, as we talked about geothermal, all of the discussions that I've watched, and I really, this is when we had several other city managers, I would sit out there and just listen to the parts that I could kind of follow along with. But I'm of the side for implementation. I mean, we could get this great project, but we've yet as a city to go out and meet with the processors on behalf of the city, talk about power sale agreements. And this is going to land in our laps and we're not going to be ready on our side. So I'm kind of gearing up more to those terms when this comes through. I believe enough other experts are giving us information about how this will be financed or how it will work. I'm concerned that when we get it, we're going to have this sales job to get done super quick. And just because they listen in on these meetings doesn't mean we're actually formally talking to some of these people. So that's all part of the equation that I don't think we've talked about a lot in the past, and I'll be looking for some help to help do that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Second rounds. Let me get to see if the others want it. Councilman Nicholson?
I have no questions. Thank you. Or comments?
No comments, okay. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, my question runs along the line of staffing here, and you may not necessarily have a question answer for me today, but before long, we're going to be back into the budget process here. And my question would be, is the hires that have been happening over the last few months, are we having to hire in at the midpoint or even potentially higher to get those positions filled, which might indicate that it down the road, as we look at Title III and the other contracts that are coming up, are we going to have to look at potentially larger wage increases?
Thank you. Councilman Bell, I'd have to look at that. I hate to just answer that off the cuff. I think we've looked at hiring. Certainly, I've hired the midpoint. I've reported all of the higher salaries that I've given to any of the executives. I think some of the other positions, they typically come in at a one or two for, say, like administrative. But where we're at in the middle of some of the others, I couldn't really tell you a place. I know our HR person pushes back a lot of times. You know, we already have a candidate in queue and a director pushes for a little more. And I know Amy has pushed back on that several times and we've still got them. However, I do anticipate, just on some preliminary summaries, I do anticipate the Title III study coming forward with a lot of recommendations. Some of them will be what we pay, maybe some will be how we're structured. And, you know, there'll be some work put into that just to take those recommendations and how would we implement it? I can't see coming to you and saying, well, here it is, dump this study on your desk and not have a plan if you want to proceed, how would we do that? So I hope that makes a big difference for our organization about implementing things.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further questions for Bill? Council? Okay, thank you, City Manager. We'll move on to community input and announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, state your name. You have 3 minutes. Roger.
Thank you, Mayor. Council, couple things. The first thing is that we are in the process right now of replacing the weight room floor at the PCR. That has not been done for 13 years. And we're in the process of doing that. Therefore, we're not lifting weights or anything right now. We'll do that as quickly as possible, get that floor down, and get that facility back open as soon as possible. I know there's a lot of people out in the community that we've impacted their schedule, and we're very sorry about that. But the floor needed to be replaced. Second item is that on December 9th, we have a holiday bazaar, and now is the time, if you want a booth, and now is the time to go down and register and get your booth as a vendor. And we're looking forward to having a good holiday bazaar and having a good holidays. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
On behalf of Dr. Ginny Hatfield at the Museum of the Illusions, I want to announce that they have an opening on November 17th. It opens at 6 p.m. The exhibit is called Family Mosaics, Near, Far, Related, about the Commander Island family history and how the Unungan there relate to the Unungan in the rest of the chain. So that's for the Museum of the Illusions. And for USAVE, we won't have an interagency meeting this month because it falls on Thanksgiving, so we'll forego that, but we'll have one sometime in December. We'll probably combine the November and December meetings. We are doing, getting ready to do lots of boxes, food boxes for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Russian Christmas. We actually do food boxes throughout the year, but we do quite a few during the holidays. If people who work for the school or the city or anyone else who gets a certificate for a turkey want to donate your turkey to us, please, we would rather have the certificate than the turkey. We just don't have the freezer space, and the sooner we get them, the better, and we really appreciate those. People often ask what they can donate during the holidays food-wise that helps us. To be completely frank, money is what helps us the most, because then we can buy what we need at the time, or if you're not comfortable giving cash, grocery store gift cards, because then we can use them for what we need at the time. I am also selling raffle tickets for our winter raffle sponsored by the Ballyhoo Lions Club. It's for this Melissa May Higman, a digital print of a cut paper piece. It's called Pacific Red Octopus. It's really, really striking. The picture doesn't do it justice. Tickets are only $5 each, or $5 for $20. Those cash funds that we raise through fundraising, like the winter raffle or the soup offers, any of the other membership drives that we do throughout the year, very important for us. We're trying to help people that don't fit into the narrow situations that some of our grants require. Our HFC grant, which gives us homeless prevention funds, our state grant, which is specifically for people who've experienced certain types of victimization, lets us provide more services to more people. So the cash we raise is very important. That's all I can think of. If you have any questions, call us 581-1500. Thank you. Buy tickets. Oh, soup off March 30th, 2024.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further announcements? Anything? Councilman Coleman?
Thank you. The Unalaska Fish and Game Advisory Committee is meeting on Friday at the library at noon. This is an opportunity if you want to be active in fisheries and the Board of Fish and the Board of Game decisions on regulations, emergency orders and such, statewide, but mostly we just deal with the local issues. If you want to be a member, please come by and get active and show your voice on what fishery issues and game issues that occur regionally. Thank you.
What time was that again?
It'll be noon in the library.
Thank you. Any further announcement? City Clerk, are there any written comments, or does anyone on Zoom or the phone wish to speak?
No, sir. No one indicated that they wanted to.
Okay, thank you. Next item is public comment on agenda. Public hearing is now open for the appeal of Planning Commission Resolution 2023 approving conditional use permit for cellular tower on lot zone high density residential on a leased portion of Tract A, Block 6, the Lulac subdivisions, plat 8919 and approximately 75 Chinosky Drive. I need a motion going to public, right? So, okay, we're in public hearing. The parties involved with appeal may be represented by counsel. Rules of evidence will not be followed. Cross-examination of persons speaking to the city council will not be allowed. The city council may consider all relevant evidence, and evidence will be heard in the following order. First, I'll have the planning department, planning commission, and then number two, the persons appealing the planning commission decision, and number three, very good, and property owner, if different than a person appealing the decision. Members of the public and other those who have previously spoken will be lost. Once presentations are completed, the council needs to decide whether to hold a deliberation and discussion regarding the decision in public or an executive session, and that will come after deliberation and discussion. So I'll turn it over to planning. Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor. So I'd just like to say a few things. You're about to hear an appeal. This is not a procedure that you guys do very often. We looked it up. It was 2018, the last time something was appealed from the Planning Commission to City Council. I've asked our legal representative, Charles Cassiole, to prepare a memo for you just to kind of, remember, this isn't something normal. You're a quasi-judicial board suddenly that you're making a decision on. And Charles, I don't know if you'd like to speak into that in general. And then I'd like them to have Cameron come up and introduce the case. So, Charles.
Thank you, Mr. Homka. Good evening, Mayor, Council members. So, as Mr. Homka explained, this is a kind of different role than the council normally serves. It is serving as in a quasi-judicial capacity. It's not in a legislative capacity. And one of the important differences there is that the council's decision on the appeal should be made based upon the information that is presented during the hearing. My role in this will be to advise the council. I'm not advising the Planning Commission. If the council has any questions for me at any point, please let me know. And as was addressed in the memorandum from Planning Commission, as well as the one from my office, when it comes time to deliberate, the council can do that in public session or can do it in executive session. We can, when it comes time to do that, discuss how the council wishes to proceed with preparing a written decision. If you have any questions about the procedure now, I'm happy to answer them, or I can provide any input as questions come up.
Councilman Tungle?
Yeah, before we get we got some notes and stuff that they provide to us to make sure we're in line on what we're doing sitting in here. Make sure we don't go over or we don't get into it. So with some of the new council in here, make sure that they're aware on the obligation that we provide sitting in here. So and there's no packet that you guys that do and don't that we can. We used to have a packet that we get when to make sure. I don't know if you.
I guess I'd have to look into that, Councilman. I wasn't aware that there was a special packet. You mean that breaks down the case or what?
Breaks down what we can do and what or us. Of course, we are wearing a different hat on this one.
Maybe Charles can answer.
I think Charles's memorandum is what you want to look through. But Charles, you want to try and tackle that and talk about four main points of your.
Sure. Well, so ultimately, the council has can take one of three actions. It can decide to uphold the Planning Commission's decision. It can reverse the Planning Commission's decision, so essentially deny the conditional use permit, or it can modify the Planning Commission's decision. So that would consist of, granting the conditional use permit, but modifying conditions on the permit. So those are fundamentally the three options that the council has in front of it. Now, there are essentially four elements that the council should consider. So what we have is a conditional use permit. And what a conditional use permit is to allow a use that may be compatible in the zoning district. I should say the permit should be granted if it is compatible and denied if it's not compatible. Now, more specifically, there are, I would say, four questions you want to answer. The first question is, does the placement of a cell phone tower at the location further the goals and objectives of the comprehensive development plan? That's the first question. The second is a cell tower compatible with the existing and planned land uses in the surrounding neighborhood? The third question is allowing a cell phone tower at this location compatible with the intent of the high density residential district? And then the fourth question is, will the cell tower have a permanent negative impact substantially greater than anticipated from permitted development in the high density residential district?
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor and Mr. Homka, was the council given a copy of this memo? It did go out today. It was not in the packet. I'm not aware of whether it was distributed to council members prior to the meeting or not.
This is Bill. Yes, it was emailed to the council directly from the clerk.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Councilman Bill.
Maybe my question is part of Mr. Tungle's question here. Is the information that was provided in the packet, emails, minutes, and all that, that's all we can use that as a basis for decisions in this hearing, I would assume?
Yes, that's all fair game. So that is part of the record that is before you in the hearing.
Thank you.
I think this is Mayor Tutikov. I was wondering, I didn't see it in here, but maybe I missed it. Was there, how many companies are involved with these structures other than, is there one, two, or only one, or is it the city itself also involved with this service?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, if you're speaking to how many companies have antennas on islands, there's several. This particular one is just Optum Mara, I believe, trying to meet the needs of their coverage.
Okay, thank you. The permitting for these towers, are all of these permits in place and valid? Somebody asked that.
I'm called Cameron Dean, the planning director up here. Cameron, do we have an update on where the permits are?
What permits are you asking about? The building permit from the city, or some other permit from like the FCC? Or?
Well, I would assume that those companies have to have a permit on whether it's privately owned or owned by some other entity. Are they in place? Does the city monitor these permits?
We don't, as part of the building permit process, we don't monitor like their FCC permits.
I assume that it's the city property we're dealing with.
It's OC property.
Pardon?
It's OC property, not city property.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions?
If not, have Cameron proceed with presenting the Planning Commission side.
Yes, Cameron? Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Mayor and Council. So this is a conditional use permit that Planning Commission approved for about 40-foot cell phone tower on a leased portion of a lot on Standard Oil Hill. The lot is owned by OC, Unalashka Corporation. On Chernofsky Drive, if you're familiar with the area, it's near, there's a tsunami siren there, and it's kind of a long, narrow, vacant lot between Chernofsky and Bjorka. So the proposed leased area is near the northwest property boundary of that parcel. It's kind of on the same side as the tsunami siren. The property is currently undeveloped. The parcel as a whole is about 1.14 acres. The high density residential zoning districts are primarily intended for single and multifamily dwellings. How many depends on the size of the lot. I think for the size of lot, just from the zoning would allow about up to 20 dwelling units. And that's allowed in any number or combination of units depending on the size of the lot. This has been before the Planning Commission at a couple meetings. So they heard the initial application at its meeting on April 27th. They did get some pushback from neighbors at that and requested that the applicant consider placing the tower somewhere else on the subject parcel. The applicant, Optimera, they did come back, presented an alternative site on it further south, kind of closer to the intersection with Bjorka. But on the same lot, the Planning Commission approved that as Resolution 2023-3. After that was approved, the Unalashka Corporation wrote a letter to the Planning Commission that it preferred the initial location. They cited a couple reasons in the letter that it was closer to the tsunami siren, closer to the utility easement, and that it wouldn't split up the lot as much for future development. It was more off to the side. So typically, if the Planning Commission would reject an application, they wouldn't be able to hear it for 12 months, but they never actually rejected the initial application. They just asked us to consider alternatives. So it was up to the Planning Commission whether to bring it back to hear at the initial location. They decided to ask us to represent it to them at the August 17th meeting, and then we did that at the October 19th meeting, where it was ultimately approved on a vote of 3-1. By the Planning Commission. So before I get to the kind of the basis for that decision, there is some federal law that applies here. We're talking about cell phone towers. There's the Telecommunications Act of 1996. We have local authority over the placement of those facilities, but there are certain restrictions on the basis for the decisions that we make. One, we can't discriminate between companies. So GCI, Optimera, whomever else, our feelings about the company can't factor into that as long as they're providing substantially similar services. The other is that we can't regulate wireless facilities on the basis of their radio frequency emissions as long as they comply with FCC standards. Basically, that's for the FCC to decide, not us. So getting to the basis for the Planning Commission's decision, when staff make recommendations and then the Planning Commission considers a conditional use permit, there's a couple tests of code that they have to look at. And Charles spoke about these a little bit. The first is that it furthers the goals and objectives of the comprehensive development plan. So our most recent comprehensive plan, the 2020 plan, does identify improving and lowering the cost of phone and internet service as a primary action to improve our quality of life here, and specifically sites, you know, construction of new cell phone towers as something that furthers that. Second is, will it be compatible with the existing and planned land uses in the surrounding neighborhood and with its intent of its use district? So our city code for a high density residential district does define public and quasi-public use buildings, like utility buildings, specifically calls out like telephone exchanges, as permissible with a conditional use permit in that district. And historically, we have we have had cell phone towers of a similar height in residential areas. There's another one on Standard Oil Hill right now that was also approved as a conditional use permit. The third test is that it will not have a permanent negative impact substantially greater than the anticipated permanent development within the district. So we're looking at this in comparison to what is allowed in the district. Like I said, high density residential, it allows as many units as allowed by the size of the lot. This one will allow up to about 20 units conceivably. There's other constraints on that, but from the size, it would allow up to about 20. So looking at this in comparison to say a 20 unit apartment building, it would cause much lower traffic compared to the new residential development. We also don't expect it to cause, significant noise or other disturbances there. That was the basis for the Planning Commission's decision. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about our rationale or how we got there.
Okay, thank you. Questions from council? Comments? Councilman Tungo.
So what's the part or the closest residential place where the tower going to be put on?
The city clerk just put the site map on there, and the red dot is showing the approximate location of the tower. The houses to the north there would be the closest, and the property owner at the house with the white roof there is the appellant here. I think the nearest distance to a structure is about 60 feet or so.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Bowman?
You said that there was already a cell tower located on Standard Oil Hill, a different one?
Yeah.
And is it the same, another 40-foot tower over there? I guess I need to go drive around and look, but is it similar? And whereabouts is it located?
Offhand, I think it is a 40-foot tower as well. It's near Dora Circle, in between Dora Circle and the end of Driftwood Way. Right.
Okay, thank you.
Councilman Bell?
My question would be along the same lines. The other tower was granted a conditional use permit. And for that, obviously, that the Planning Commission felt that it met the four goals that you just stated. Are there differences in the site that is being proposed here to that would be different from any of the four conditional uses or the four goals that were previously stated?
So the four goals, if I remember correctly from that conditional use permit, were essentially the same, that it's, improving our communications infrastructure. It's not causing, disturbance compared to like a large apartment building would there. The primary difference between this and that is that one, the tower is farther from buildings.
Thank you. Councilman Nicholson, any question or comments? We'll come back to you. Councilman Booby?
So I have a couple questions. So I did go back and try to do a lot of homework on this. And I was able to listen to the video recording of the April 27th meeting. It would have been nice if there was more on there. I couldn't even find the minutes on the website. So it'd be nice if those were updated for stuff like this, because that first initial meeting really actually did help a lot to kind of understand, you know, everybody's point of view, and it really, you know, sounds like Optimera is putting in a hard spot, right? With all of the different conditions. But the one question I do have, well, there's two. The one of them is, how many commissioners are there needed for a quorum?
The quorum is just the majority of the commission. There's five commissioners total.
Okay. And so if there's only two, is that a quorum?
That would not be a, or I'm sorry, it's the majority of commissioners present.
Majority of commissioners present. Okay. I mean, like with us here, we have a certain number that we have
to have. I'm sorry. It's, I saw your face and I realized as I was saying that that is a ridiculous statement. So
you have to have three.
Yeah,
members. So you have to have three. Okay. And so do you have to have three that can vote? Because that's another question. If you have to have three that can vote in order to pass a resolution?
It's my understanding, of course, if you're recusing yourself, mm-hmm. and it's going to be, say, a one-to-one vote, I mean, that's not really a good representation. I know it seems like it's just a few months ago, but I'm scraping my memory trying to remember because I'm sure I was sitting there.
So I can just get right to the point next. My next question is, so Ian and Jenny both recused right. themselves in April,
right.
but did not in October. So I'm, you know, it's kind of a why.
Sure. So yeah, they did both. They declared that they have potential conflicts of interest at the April meeting, both because they do work that involved the tower in some way. So we talked to the city attorney about that. He gave some guidance. We found that actually their potential conflict did not meet the standard in code to be disqualified necessarily. They asked, so it came to a vote of the Planning Commission of whether to recuse them or not. The Planning Commission voted that they should not recuse themselves. Ginny voted in all the meetings after that. Ian, at the first two meetings as presented, chose to, even though the Planning Commission rejected his request to recuse himself, chose to abstain. You can't force him to vote. So he abstained from those votes. He voted at this last meeting in October.
Okay, so, and that was, so it basically was all vetted. It was all good with the lawyers and everything, so there's no conflict there.
Right, that was a question we had for the attorney well before I got here, but back in April.
Okay, perfect, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments or questions? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I may have missed it in all the minutes here. Was there ever a question of alternate locations for this tower and why it needed to be located there?
Yes, I mentioned the comments from OC and why they preferred this location over the alternate location that they got approved as 2023-3. This application does show in red there on the screen an alternate tower location within the same lease, and the applicant have to speak to that.
I guess to go a little further, as far as alternate locations,
more broadly.
Say for example, Haystack or Strawberry Hill, or the other side of the hill, maybe the west side, and why this particular location?
I know alternatives were considered, but I mean, both the applicant and the landowner are here, so I'll let them speak to that.
that. Councilman Tungle?
So I thought we're going to decide on what's being presented to you. And the, I don't know if are we in the right way of questioning in here, or are we supposed to just listen and what's being presented and decide in there? And
So, Councilman Tungle, I think you are all fine in asking questions. These are all material that was presented at the Planning Commission. There were several meetings, and some of the lines that you're asking are valid. I can say that when it comes to voting or recusing ourselves, some people tend to be overly cautious because these are not fun meetings. Someone doesn't like something and someone wants something. So there's always going to be a point of conflict. And this is a small town. Everyone somewhat knows each other. So what they may perceive as a conflict is isn't really a conflict. So sometimes they have a project, but is that something that's really, you know, I understand what happened to those two council members or two commission members and why they were thinking to recuse themselves. But those are the same things that when I'm looking for people to nominate to this body for appointment, we don't want to not have small businesses represented, right? So we try to manage these conflicts as best as we can. And I think you're getting to the bottom of some of that, but it still comes down to, with regard to the question about was other diligence done in terms of alternate locations? I'm not sure if the 2018 case was the GCI tower, but I know I did process one my first year here. And I just remember going around with these companies to figure out where the ideal location, maybe someone who doesn't want it. And I would defer the question about what kind of work went into that to the company itself. However, I don't think that, and Charles, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that is a matter up for discussion tonight, because this is the decision that was made and the reasons given. So I would kind of state that confined. Otherwise, we'll start going around deferring and looking for new sites.
That's what I'm trying to get in there. I want to make sure we stay where it's what the discussion at hand. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councilman Bell?
I guess where that question might come in of alternate sites would be the intent with high density. And maybe you can expand upon that a little bit as far as this meeting the criteria of being compatible or under conditional use with high density residential.
I guess can you maybe rephrase the question?
High density residential, I guess, in my mind, and not with getting too deep into what's in here, doesn't necessarily lend itself to industrial towers. And maybe I know there's an explanation in here as far to why that does meet that intent as far as the ordinance. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if you can expand on that or if it's pretty clear on the explanation that's in there.
I mean, I'd say that's a question for the council to answer. That's like Charles said in his memo, it's kind of subjective qualification for this. I will say that the high density residential zone, it lists out permissible uses with a conditional use permit, and like I said, utility structures, telephone exchanges, things like that are things that improve the I think it's economic and community well-being are permissible as conditional uses in that zone.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments or questions? Councilman Nicholson? Are you on mute?
Okay, you got me now.
Yeah, go ahead. Do you have any comments?
Okay, yes. Actually, my questions were answered and stuff. Now that I know that there is already a cell tower and stuff on Standard Oil Hill and stuff. So that's the only question I had. So thank you.
All right, thanks. Any further questions? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, there's a section in here, and it's listed on my page 37 when you look at it here. And what it states is historically, Unalaska has allowed small cell towers near residential structures. Buildings surrounding the proposed tower would be outside of the standard 44-foot fall zone for a similar use windmill. The tower has a nearly 1.5 times height fall to the next nearest building. And in italics here, it says it falls approximately 2 feet short of the fall. The short of the full 1.5 times. Is that something that needs to be addressed?
Sure. So our code does not define like a fall distance for cell phone towers like this with a conditional use permit. We historically have used small wind turbines, which can also be permitted in this district, as the analog for it, which those in code, it requires a 1.1 times fall distance. That's just what we've used because it's the closest thing we have.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Another comment? Question? None? Thank you for your report, testimony. Next, we'll have the plaintiff. Very here on.
She's on Zoom.
Okay.
Go ahead, Miss Doctor.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Oh, great. Great. Thank you. This is Sherry Doctor, and my sole intent for the appeal was to have the city council look at the decision or the proposed cell tower and find an alternate location. Biggest concern is the fall distance with the wind. It's kind of open up here where they're intending to put it. And it's very concerning, and it's probably within 60 feet of my house. Basically, that was the intent of the appeal, and other homeowners also signed a letter that I had written, which I assume that you all have there also. That's about it. Just if they could find another location and have the decision overturned.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments.
Sure, thank you.
We'll take that into further discussion. At a later point when the council does get together to make the decision. Question for me or?
Yeah. Council can ask the questions. Yeah.
You're going to interrogate
her. No interrogation here. Thank you. Ms. Doctor, so when they came up with the alternate site, which I don't know how much further away that was, it seems like it was pretty close. Was that, did that resolve your issues with the tower being placed on this lot?
Well, no, it's still in the same residential area. It's probably about a half a block up the street. I mean, it wouldn't fall into my house, but there's other houses right there. There's, lots of kids up here. It's really, you know, pretty populated up here. So no, that was not really acceptable either.
Thank you. I don't have anything else.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions for?
There's a member of the public who would like to provide a comment to Mr. Mayor.
Okay, well, no further questions for Sherry Doctor, then we'll move on to the public comment.
We have Mr. Sergey Roerbeck.
Good evening. My name is Sergey Roerbeck. I've been a long-term resident here. run a small company. I own actually property right next to Sherry's house there. A lot of our really concerned, the members of the community there, particularly the property owners. There's only a few of the actual property owners there. The rest of the business rental houses. Now, going back to the first original tower that they put on the other side, on the north side of the Standard Oil Hill, the first tower, which were approved with the same conditional use permit. The only housing right there is apartments. And they virtually has no voice in the matter. Nobody asked them. They're not property owners. They just railroaded that decision and put a tower there. Now, going back to you quoted FCC, Federal Communications Commission Act of 1996, which granted tremendous powers to the telecoms, which actively lobbied for them, pretty much paid for decision to where they can put towers pretty much anywhere they want. With the exception, there's a thin line that local municipalities can somewhat regulate it. And it's up to Planning Commission and the City Council to address those issues. Now, across the whole country right now, there's a big movement, and there's been a big movement going on, to where municipalities addressing, looking at the issue of indiscriminate placement of those industrial towers in residential areas, and they address it differently. There's a little loopholes in the FCC ruling of 1996 and 2016 FCC ruling. There's a bit of a loophole there, which they use. For example, in California and Florida, those towers look like palm trees. In Washington and Oregon, those towers look like coniferous trees. So they blend somewhat in the environment. It's not, we're putting a huge industrial tower in the middle of the, it's going to be sticking out there in the middle of Standard Oil Hill for God knows how long. It's impacting the, you know, there's a numerous impact. Sherry said, you know, the fall line. I'm also concerned about the noise. You know, when the wind's blowing 50 miles an hour, how much of the noise are going to be creating? Another important point I want to make is that applicants did not provide or analyze any alternative locations to placing that tower. And basically, this is it. This is this slot. It's where this tower has to go. And we would argue that there are actually other locations. It's right across from Bjorka Drive, barely, 150 meters, 200 meters. There's a Strawberry Hill. And we think that's a perfect location for that tower. So that's it. Thank you for your attention.
Okay, thank you. Any further comments from public? Any further comments? He's ready to go.
Yes, Dennis Robinson. Resident of Standard Oil Hill. I don't envy the position this council is in because the first and foremost thing that you need to understand or to think about is the Planning Commission operates as an extension of this body. The last time I lost the seat, the body went against a recommendation from an entity that represented the city and therefore caused that entity to file a lawsuit against the city, against the city council. When I was sitting there, what we were faced with and what we had to consider was the facts. And from what I read in the that were presented in the council packet, there weren't a whole lot of facts given on the behalf of the appellate. I don't discount their concern for the fall area, but that wasn't, I don't remember reading that in the packet. What I did see was that there may be some, how did it put, that there's suggestions that say that cell phone towers in residential areas are detrimental to health. You know, every one of us carries one of these things around and we put it up to our head, and it's the same frequency that is coming out of that tower that is hitting this phone. But the facts are what you have to, you know, that this council is charged with making a decision on. And it's very clear to me that the landowner does not want to be able to, the alternate position. They objected to it, and the landowner being OC, that particular lot, I happen to know, is a very expensive lot to be able to develop housing, is probably likely not ever going to get developed just due to the sheer cost of the development of it. So I would suggest listening to the landowner and following what the decisions that the Planning Commission rightfully came to on this variance. And I, you know, I'm not discounting the appellate, but those are the facts that the City Council has to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Robinson. Any further public comment? Okay. No further comments from the public at this time. We'll have deliberation by the council and this decision of the council to either do it in public forum or Larissa? I was asking for public comment. The public, come on up.
Larissa Syverson. I work with the Unalashka Corporation. I'm the technical lands manager. Just wanted to point out this information that was provided is very thorough, and thank you everyone who worked on it. We didn't just choose this spot willy-nilly. Just wanted to make sure you guys are aware this was carefully planned out. We know the location. We chose it because it is on the cusp of a high residential and a marine industrial environment. I think that this location was chosen also because of its closeness to the easement, the other tsunami tower in the area. And yeah, we put a lot of time and effort into it. It wasn't just chosen willy-nilly. We've talked with Optimera about what they need in a site, and this site was very fitting. Yeah, but I just wanted to make sure we were able to put our two cents in this meeting. I don't believe the first commission meeting on April, was there a vote at that meeting? I don't think there was.
I'd have to go back.
I'm just trying to remember when you guys were discussing who all was there. So yeah, that's it. I think there's a couple people online too, Denise and Natalie, in case they want to speak on behalf of OC.
Hey, thank you, Larissa. Didn't mean to pass up the landowner, but they didn't step up.
Mr. Mayor,
who else is on Zoom?
Yes, we have Ms. Natalie Kale.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. And I would like to also, similar to what Mr. Robinson had just communicated, there are plenty of facts. The Planning Commission did make a determination, and on page 35 of the packet, numbers 4, 5, and 6 laid out the reasoning for approving the conditional use permit. And looking at the objections from the landowner, I'm certainly can sympathize. However, the basis for the opposition is merely kind of a personal preference as opposed to based on any fact. They don't want a tower that close to their home. Research suggests that there are health risks. However, in the packet itself, there's plenty of information that supports that human exposure to radio frequency fields, there are no health effects. And I would really ask council to take into consideration that at this time, and even if we were to move the tower to a different location, housing remains a number one priority for the city, for OC. At some point, there may be housing built around wherever this alternative location is. And if council lets individuals throughout the community dictate where and when a landowner can do something with its property, they're going to set a pretty dangerous precedent, in my opinion, particularly since they have already granted or approved a conditional use permit for a cell tower. And like I said, the Planning Commission found that page 35 of the packet, it met the requirements for approving a conditional use permit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Natalie, who else is on?
No one else indicate, Mayor, that they wanted to speak up.
Okay, thank you. All right, now we're at the point where during this deliberation that we make a decision to do our discussion in public or into executive session. That's will of the council to do an executive session. I need a motion and a second.
I'll make the motion just so we can have a discussion. Move into executive session for deliberations.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilman Coleman. Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Jungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 6-0, the City Council has voted to go into executive session, and at 7:24, we will be in executive session, and give us a few minutes to clear the chambers, and we'll do our discussion, and we'll call public back in when we've completed our deliberation. Thank you.
So to our participants in Zoom, I'll be ending this meeting, and then we'll have a lock meeting to include Charles and council member Darren Nicholson. And then we'll lock the meeting and we'll have the executive session. Thank you.
Okay, we got it cleared out. Let's close the doors and get started, please.
Really convey to our senators how much it's important that they keep. I know from what I've read, they've been trying, but I think it's just one of those key facts that we want to just continue to impress upon them that we know how important that is to keep be a high advocate for Alaska products, marketing, and the incursion of Russian pollock coming across now. It's cheaper, they have different standards, and we're allowing that in our markets. So we're not able to sell the way we used to, and it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt the city pretty bad if it continues. So I just really wanted to make that point on the fisheries because I think it's really important this year to impress upon them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Go ahead.
We'll be sure to add that issue.
Rich. Councilman Nicholson. We'll get back to you later. Who's next? Councilman Luby.
Well, I have to agree that the pollock fishery is probably, is our bread and butter for sure. Without that, we'd probably, be pretty much a little ghost town, I guess. It would be a mass exodus here. And the city would have no money to do any of the projects that we're intending to do. So it's important to keep that, to the forefront. All of the restrictions as far as the right well and, the crab fisheries, all of those are important to Unalaska. And so we need to really pay attention to all of that. And then also I think that we need to pay attention to the Arctic port so that we can diversify. Diversity is important, I think, to Unalaska because you don't know what's going to happen with fisheries and so we do need to kind of diversify, and we should be looking in that way, too. So I'd like to kind of keep that up in the forefront as well. So.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, looking at what's in here, all these projects are important projects.
You are muted. You can mute.
Sure. Coleman, is that, the fisheries.
The issues that are facing the fisheries are probably the most important ones that that need to be watched and dealt with. One that I was going to add on here, or just at least have a conversation about, was a stabilization of air travel into Unalaska. I don't know. Everyone who's been flying lately is kind of. There's not anything I can point to directly, but the little hairs on the back of my neck are up, thinking that within the next year or so we may be having to worry about air travel again. Nothing concrete, but I think that's going to be a concern of this community now and into the future still. The master plan that was done for the airport here, I don't think does us any favors. And maybe we need to go back and address that with DOT. But I think, that's something that should be on the back of our mind. Is air travel. So, thank you.
Great, thank you. Councilman Nicholson?
He is not able to make it back. Yes.
Okay, thanks. Councilman Longo? You support that.
Yes, I support the prayers that come through. Fisheries are what keep us going here at this time. So support that and looking into the Arctic port military presence as well.
Hey, thank you. Anyone else? Councilman Fungal?
Yeah, I think that the airport,
the airlines, I think it's something to really look really good in when you go to DC, what we're facing. What we're facing here yearly every season, this is a never-ending battle, I guess, until we get that runway extension. The other thing I want to make sure that working together with that trilateral, make sure they see how good we work with other entities around town. Working together, I think. It pushes a lot of the project together, working with the OC and the tribe together with the city. Can't get a better team running this city. I think make sure we present that as we go down there and show them how we work together to benefit the people in this community. So I think project that we got in here, I think they're all needed, but we gotta add the run. We gotta add something about our airlines in here to make it better, and hopefully we can get some money to do something with that runway. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Everyone's made good points. I agree with all of them. We're trying to get to a priority with the trilateral group that Councilman Ungo spoke of, and that's a very impressive operation that Unalaska and other communities have brought forward. And it's brought funding to the community. It's brought working together makes a big difference. And we need to continue that project, that pathway. The Brownfields grant applications need to be part of our discussion with the EPA. For actual remediation, we don't need any more studies. We already know what the study is going to say. And we want to have pushing the actual remediation cleanup of people's personal property or OCs or cities. Doesn't matter. If they find that there's pollution, then we need to clean it up. And at the expense of the military or EPA. The other thing is the pollock and bycatch. There was I don't know if Seb knows or anything, but they had a roundtable discussion of the region in Bethel. And they're talking specifically to a resolution that was passed at the AFN. Resolution number one, which was to shut down trawling in the Bering Sea to provide more salmon to go up the rivers. I think they're looking at it wrong. I think there's a way to work around it to continue the fishing in the Bering Sea. We need to keep an eye on what that's going to do. Senator Murkowski was at that meeting. Have not had the opportunity to talk to her or what that decision or outcome was, but it's going to be important to Unalaska and other communities that are going to get affected. It's not only in the Bering Sea communities. It's going to be Kodiak, Sandpoint, King Cove, Chicknick, anywhere, False Pass, and Unalaska primarily. So we got to keep an eye on that particular issue, and that pollock is our number one product, and we got to keep that moving or work on it to keep it going. The air travel, I don't know what to say about that. The state of Alaska has done a review of our air at least 3 to 4 times in the last 20 years and came out with the same book, except paragraphs in different order. Seemed like to me they didn't do anything to help us, really. So we've got to continue to work with our FAA group in Washington, D.C. to make sure that funds that are sent to the state of Alaska are utilized for airport development and maintenance. And that's all I've gotten. I think the priorities that you've laid out, Seb and Rich, are right on for this year, and I look forward to working with you guys when we get there. Councilman.
Mr. Mayor, I have Mr. Gary Nicholson is back online, and Mr. Sebastian O'Kelly raised his hand.
Okay. I'll go with Councilman Nicholson first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, all the projects that are laid out are something that is very, very important to help build the infrastructure of Unalaska. And that's something that, you know, we have to do as much and try to get as much help as we can to get that accomplished. The airlines is one of the large issues, and you almost can't afford to fly in and out of Unalaska anymore. So that is very important for the community and for actually the growth of Unalaska if we can't afford to get here. So that's what I have, and hopefully we can get as much assistance as we can to get these projects accomplished as soon as we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Sebastian?
Thanks, everyone, for those comments. I'll defer to Rick on some of the fisheries issues. One thing that would help us a little bit, you know, since the state produced the master plan for the airport, if you guys have specific comments in terms of things that you like about the plan or things that you don't like about the plan, if you can, you know, share that, or Bill, share that with us in kind of a rough form, we can mold that and include that in our briefing memo to the delegation. You know, a lot of the decision making on the airport it's happening with federal dollars, but it's been delegated to the state. But nonetheless, there is a nexus there, and we need to keep the delegation in the loop on what's going on with the airport and what our specific issues are with the master plan. So thank you for raising those fisheries issues, Rick. I don't know if you want to add anything from what the members raised.
Yeah, I did. I really appreciate the feedback and the comments. We'll make sure we reflect the Russian pollock issue in the memo. And also, we're very sensitive to the pollock issue. We know how important it is. You all may remember that the agency received a petition to close the pollock fishery due to salmon bycatch. I think that was for the 22 season. The agency, Janet Coit, the person we're meeting with, rejected that petition and did not close the fishery. So I think it'd be a good opportunity to remind her how important pollock is to this community, and that the agency's done the right thing in the past and needs to continue to do so and look for the research and the science to make informed decisions. So those are really good comments. We appreciate it. We'll reflect that in the memo. So thank you very much.
Hey, thank you. And I'm sure we'll get some comments from council members or people that work in the community, work with the airlines, that they may have comments regarding the airport master plan, and we'll make sure that they get them to you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Robinson?
Great. Thank you, Dennis Robinson, for the record. Sherry brought up a really good point, I mean, as far as pollock fishery. But it's multifaceted. It's a lot more complicated than just the bycatch issue. We now have killer whales that are thrown into the mix. We have the North Pacific right whale that are thrown into the mix. We have climate effects on the king salmon in the entire Pacific coast, all the way through the Bering Sea, some of the things that are affecting the king salmon is what they call the 8,000-pound gorilla in the room, and that's the predation done by orcas. It far outweighs, I mean, the numbers are staggering on what the orcas eat, and that's primarily why we have a decline in them. That combined with the changing climate. We also have the hatchery fish that Japan and Russia release as far as chum salmon, the effects on wild stock. We're also finding that there's a correlation between the pink salmon populations and the food that the chum and other salmon eat. And being that the pink salmon is a faster growing fish, it kind of tends to eat everything before. The airport master plan, it's a state issue, but back in when we had the legislative fly-in, I did specifically ask the new commissioner of DOT to reintroduce or to basically open that master plan up and fix it. Because going to D.C. is not going to do anything if we don't get that master plan corrected. That master plan has to be corrected to allow for an option to extend that runway. The rejection that we received from what I was able to find out in Juneau was that the governor did not want to put that option in there because it may have put the state on the hook for expansion of it. Well, that's not the way Unalaska's ever operated. We need that option in there because we can probably find an alternate way to fund it. We're pretty good at that. So, you know, the fisheries, without pollock, the processors here wouldn't be able to open their doors. They wouldn't on the subspecies. We may find one processor processing everything, but that's going to be, you know, it's going to get pretty scarce around here as far as population if that happens. So fisheries is important. The heart of the ocean, that needs to be kept on the burner. We need to pursue and see if we can get that removed. It'll be there for at least another 4 years before NOAA Sanctuaries determines determines whether it's going to stay on the inventory or not. And I think we need to do everything we can in the next 4 years to have that removed from that inventory, because it was reached in a nefarious way. Nothing in it was above board. So those are critical to us. But fisheries is multifaceted, and it's a lot more complicated than just pollock and bycatch and that. So we're getting nailed from every direction possible on that. So, and it is a sustainable fishery. The Russian fish issue, that is primarily the East Coast legislators and senators that will not allow Senator Sullivan's bill to get to the floor. They like that cheap Russian crab, they're not supporting the Sullivan's what the program is called Buy American, so they're not supporting that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. That's well over 3 minutes, but we understand. Anyone else? Well, thank you, Seb, and kept you up fairly late, too. Mitch, we'll thank you for your comments, and we'll be working closely with the city manager and the trilateral group to formalize the priority list here in the next 3 to 4 days.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and we look forward to seeing you and the other folks as traveling down to D.C. as part of the trilateral. We'll keep you informed on the schedule, and we'll work together with Bill to finalize the memo and have all our issues set for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Safe travels, folks.
Okay. Let's see, I guess we'll go through this. Is there any written comments submitted from anyone on Zoom or phone?
No, sir. No comments.
Okay. anyone present wish to speak other than Dennis? Thanks, Dennis. Hearing, need a motion to go back into regular session, please.
I make a motion to go back into a regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungo, second by Councilman Longo. Without objection, we'll go back into regular session at 8:37. So we're back in regular session, and next item is a consent agenda, and we've taken care of one item already by moving it to a later date, to the 28th of November. Resolution 2023-44 has been moved. Resolution 2023-45. Now we need a motion and a second.
Mayor, I wish to move 2023-45 off the consent agenda and place it after ordinance 2023-11.
Been moved by Councilman Coleman to move 2023-44 resolution. The second. Move an agenda item.
Sorry, I'm just taking it off the consent agenda.
It's a motion and a second to remove from the consent agenda.
Yes. Just a point of order. No, it doesn't. I can just move it.
Clerk says just requires just one objection.
Okay. Then move without objection. Next item, resolution 2023-45, approving this 67-year lease period for amended lease agreements from the City of Unalaska and the Elderly Family and Health Services. Track A of the Health Campus.
Mayor, we're at regular agenda, ordinance 2023-11. Item A, removed resolution 2345 after the ordinance.
That's the regular agenda 2023-11, creating a budget amendment. Number two, to the fiscal year 2024 budget, providing $10,000 in additional monies to fully fund the park and recreation study. The motion is second.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 2023-11.
Second.
Yes.
Second. Coleman seconds. Schedule it for public hearing and for second reading on November 28th. Turn this over to City Manager for an introduction.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. So the matter that we're talking about for this ordinance is the budget amendment. The CMMP had the Parks and Rec Master Plan study on it, I believe 3 years, for the amount of about $150,000. The proposals all came in pretty close to that, but they exceeded it by a few thousand. So that's the nature of this request, so that we can fund it. We move the authorization for me to sign the agreement to the next meeting. So if after you approve the budget amendment, then you can authorize entering into that contract.
Thank you. Council discussion. Councilman Bell.
I know in the past, in previous conversations, I've not really necessarily been in favor of the study or questions whether this was really a good use of funds. Since these monies are already approved, I guess I can support this ordinance, and hopefully the study results will prove me wrong. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Nicholson, comments on ordinance 2020-11.
I will be in support of this ordinance.
Okay, thank you. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment on this ordinance?
No, sir. No one signed up.
We'll restate the motion. The motion is to adopt Ordinance 2023-11, creating a budget amendment number 2 to the fiscal year 2024 budget, providing $10,000 in additional money to fund the park and recreation study. We'll request a roll call vote.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. On a roll call vote of 6-0, Ordinance 2023, as Council has introduced Council Ordinance 2023-11 and scheduled it for public hearing second reading on November 28, 2023. Council directives to the city manager.
Mr. Mayor, we have resolution 2023-45 approving the 67-year lease period for an amended lease agreement between the City of Unalaska and the IFHS for Track A Iliuluk Health Campus.
Resolution 2023-40 is now on the regular agenda.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then motion second.
Mayor? I move to adopt resolution 2023-45.
I second.
Moved by Councilman Bell, seconded by Councilman Tungle. This time I'll turn it over to city manager.
Yes, Mayor, Council, thank you. So this item is a result of, I believe, the first meeting that I was city manager, and it was a council directive to come forth with the instruments that would extend, well, basically combine the tracks that are over there that have parking and the skate park on one site, and then, of course, the clinic facilities on the other. The city owns both the properties. The clinic owns the building. 67 years left on the current lease, the 99-year lease. And in reviewing that with planning, it was determined that the best course of action is to replat the entire site because there's Lavelle Court, which is really isn't, I mean, the city has to, and the clinic on its own, on our own property for the city, we have to abide by our own codes. So if we have a paper street, this setbacks doesn't seem much point to do variances and go through all that, you're going to be looking at a you know, redevelopment of the second site in a way. So the Planning Commission has already looked at the plat, and you guys already looked at the vacation of Lavelle Court. Sometimes we, most places do that so that plats are hard to research. And so if you lose a street along the way, what happened to it? So oftentimes they'll marry the platting process with street vacation so that there's another record of it in our own council's own records instead of hidden in a map somewhere. And with that, I think planning worked with the city attorney to then amend the existing lease rather than come up with another lease for the second site. And so that's what you have in front of you. You have the combined plat that's going to be heard by the Planning Commission, I think, later this week, as a matter of fact. And the lease is a matter for you all to decide.
Okay, thank you, Bill. City Manager, this, my, I'll ask for council discussion. Councilman Tungle.
So we are going to be relocating the skate, and it's pretty much the whole area going to be part of on the lease that the clinic is going to have.
For the lease, yes, sir. Can't speak to what what layout will be of the facility or the new facility. I believe the CEO is here if you want to ask questions of Noel Ray. But this is your getting all of your T's crossed, your I's dotted. You know, we have there's easements in there. We want to make sure those are replatted accordingly. If there's utilities in there, you probably don't need to see the Lavelle Court. It's shaded in. So really there were two properties, and now there will just be one. And it, that is really for to open that site up as much as possible for whatever the RT, whatever the layout of that will be.
I think that would be a good one because that emergency where they pull in, that's a tight spot. That's really a bad spot where they pull in for emergency. But, you know, I think that will open it up, and I think that will open it up more and better access for the emergency once this expansion is done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungo. Councilman Nicholson, comments on the resolution 2020?
No comments, no questions. Okay, thank you.
Councilman Coleman?
Thank you. The reason why I pulled this off for discussion is because, well, I guess I just kind of want to be on the record about the concern I have. So these lease agreements, you know, your financial implications just say that it was not applicable, but I do see financial implications with this. Starting from the very beginning of the work session, I think Mr. Bell, I went back to the audio because I was curious about it. Mr. Bell commented about the skate park. He asked, you know, where, when it's going to locate, who's going to pay for it. I brought it up too. You know, is it going to have to be moved? Mr. Ray came and also discussed and said, no, there's no really intention. There was no plan, immediate plan to move this park. Okay. But yet, And then we had our next session was about vacating the roadway. There's nothing brought up about skate park or financial implications on that one. And then now in the memorandum, I'm looking, the city intends to relocate the skate park to another location off this lease. So I'm wondering when are you guys having these internal discussions about financial implications of changing the skate park when none of that has been brought to city council? So I know we're talking about a lease, but we do have something that's going to happen. Apparently, management has already decided it's going to move. In the memo, that's what it says. And so I'm not opposed to the lease. I'm not obviously not opposed to moving forward with this, but I want to put on the record that you know, you're already making these decisions where it was very clear that it doesn't have to move. And I hate as a council to kick this can down the road and have another council in, you know, 5 years be burdened with something financial that was never intended to be to happen in the first place, or that at least it was never apparent that people need to, you know, say this. So it's just, you know, like I said, you got a master plan coming up. It, maybe need budget for it. But none of that's been discussed, and so we're making a decision that has implications for the future. So I guess I just really wanted to make my point on that, which is why I wanted to bring it forward. So, like I said, I'm not opposed to this, but I guess I don't really feel like the way the city is moving is being very candid and open with council on what it could happen, because this is not going to be a cheap move on the park. Nothing's cheap. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I was in agreement with Sherry moving this to the regular session so we can talk about it. My concerns are the same. I think there was putting a little bit of the cart before the horse and talking primarily about a lease without having some conversation about what's going to happen with the skate park. I've had conversations with the city manager about this, and you know, we've had conversations as a council about it. And at least in my mind, I think moving forward is that the council, you know, needs to keep that as a project on the back of their mind. And when we get to the CMMV process, is that we make the decision on where that needs to go and direct staff on what that project could look like. I think there's been some discussion with the PCR advisory committee on potential skate park or pump track or whatever it may be. But my initial concern, my initial knee-jerk reaction is this was kind of put as a, the way I took it was that the skate park would be something, we'd just deal with it down the road. We're not going to worry about it right now. We want to get this lease done. And I'm in favor of the lease. I have no problem with that. I think that's a good use of that property, and I think it benefits the community the best. But I don't want to lose these little quality of life projects, these little quality of life things that we keep getting chipped away. And it just keeps moving us more towards a work camp than a community. And I know for my effort, I will make sure that I keep that skate park as a project that still is important in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Thuby?
So if you sign this lease, where are you going to put the skate park? Because the question then becomes, this is now being turned over to the clinic, and are they going to insure the kids if they get hurt? There's liability insurance. Does that fall on the clinic now? Are they going to continue to do that? Are they going to have to cut, you know, close that skate park because they don't want the liability? Are we going to move it right away? I mean, that just popped into my head just a few minutes ago when we were talking about that. I don't think we can kick that can down the road because there's liability issues for the clinic. And so now if they're leasing it, they get to make that decision. What are they going to do with it? So, yeah, thanks.
I think the best way to approach that would be to ask Mr. Ray to come and explain where the clinic is at this juncture. I think I would respectfully push back on any intimation that there's meetings happening. There are meetings happening. There are several different groups that meet and discuss. And as you said, they're extensions of the city. They don't all discuss the same thing at the same time, the same perspective. And the way it works is, ultimately, I know that the clinic needs site control in order to get the money and start planning. And when you talk about timing, you can turn this over to tomorrow. It's not going to be a building show up. There's a whole process that's going to engage the community. And another process, as you mentioned, is with the park planning. There's going to be pretty well covered with what's going to happen on that site on behalf of the nonprofit clinic and on where the pump track will go, stay. I know in its current form, it's not very good. I mean, I think the last time it was welded and fixed was the last time it can be done, really, without probably exceeding the cost of the value. So when I think about saying it's going to be changed, I know those factors. But there is no, and I would push back on that extremely hard if that's intimation. There's not any meetings or any plans about the pump track. With that, I would ask Mr. Noel Ray, who's the CEO, to come up and speak to any questions you might have on this lease.
We have Councilman Nicholson, before I call anybody up.
Yeah, no other questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I'm just curious about the liability issue. That's my main question.
Okay, if we're done here,
thank you for having me up. That's a good question as far as liability of the skate park. For as long as it's there, but I think that's insurance broker to insurance broker can make sure that there's coverage to cover that thing. Obviously, you guys are covering it right now. We probably follow that same path. But no, it's not going to move. I mean, it's a long time. We don't even have an architect under contract, right? We're still need the site control to get those people on the table to kind of do that piece of it. So it is a chicken and the egg kind of conversation about the skate park. But I'm also on the PCR advisory board. I know Roger's talking about where to put the skate park and whether they're going to have a pump track or a skate park and where it would be outside of my pay grade, kind of what their kind of plan is. I don't know if waiting for that big plan to go happen before you can do any of these other things. I'm not sure how to respond on that, because that probably is going to take months and months once you guys read it in on whatever at the end of the month and that contract gets let for that process. So I understand your concerns, and I can't speak to where it's going to go, and there's a high likelihood. I mean, it looks like a lot of space, but we're already parking a bunch of cars over on that land anyways. It is, and a lot of it's straight up the hill, so the natural movement would be towards that skate park. But we don't have a design that says it goes away or anything like that. But I do think that's probably high likelihood that that would need to get moved, or just for parking if nothing else. So I don't know if that answers your question. I can't really address the skate park and what they're going to do with it. But we can certainly cover the liability. I think we can have insurance people put together and cover that.
The liability was my question. So it sounds like we can take care of it.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on the council? We'll go to public comments. Go to the speaker. You have 3 minutes. Anyone signed up?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We have Mr. Dennis Robinson signing up for this agenda item.
Yes, thank you. A little bit of history. I was on the council when we filled this little lake in, and we decided that we put a state park there. It was back then, it was always the intention for that to be some sort of a medical campus. 30 years ago, there wasn't a need for a larger clinic. We thought that that would suffice for quite some time. Well, we've outgrown it. It's time to plan the second step. I remember the discussion coming up. Well, we can't bind the council, future councils, as to who's going to move that skate park. But I trust that the plan that you're entering in with Barry Dunn to provide that Parks and Rec master or recreation plan will address exactly that. What's before you tonight is a decision on approving a 64-year lease, and it's not where the skate park is going to go. And my input on that is, why wasn't it 100 years? Because guess what? As long as this community is going to be here, we're going to need a healthcare facility. And I think, I mean, it would just make a whole lot more sense just to make it a 100-year lease. I would urge you to support this resolution as it deals with the lease. And then, I believe, like I said, the master plan will address your concerns of where the skate park is going and who's going to pay for it and what it's going to be. Maybe it's not required anymore. We don't know. I mean, the tennis court, Kelty Field. I mean, this community has outgrown a lot of that stuff, and it's a shame that we maintain it, but it's with zero use. So even though I would be opposed to, if I was on the council, to coming up with multiple different small master plans and putting it as one overall community plan, I'm looking forward to seeing what options that that we have with the master plan. And like I said, I think then is the time that we figure out where we're going to come up with the money to move that park and make that land what I remember its true intention was to be. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else signed up?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we have Miss Larissa Syverson.
As someone that used to skate here, I just want to suggest maybe building on top of the skate park so that it's sheltered out of the wind, out of the wind.
We'll discuss that when we get to CMMP.
No one else signed up, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Restate the motion is to approve the resolution 2023-45, approving a 67-year lease period for the amended lease agreement between the City of Unalaska and the Iloilo Family and Health Services Incorporated for Track A of Iloilo Health Campus. I have a roll call vote.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 6-0 in favor of resolution 2023-45, the council has approved this resolution.
Council directive.
Okay, finally. Did have one directive on record. Are there any further directives to the city manager? Okay, thank you.
Mayor, I want to be clear. The directive is to prepare the memorandum with the legal counsel to bring it back to 20. Okay, I want to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Okay. Yeah, the memorandum. The next item is the community input announcements, and this is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements to the community. Are there any further announcements?
I'll be super quick, Mayor, Council. First, I wanted to bring up that with the help of Patrick Bless, we're going to try and bring back the host of Coastie for Thanksgiving. We're in that mode right now, trying to get everything going and get all the contacts made so that we can hopefully get it going by next week. And then December 11th at the elementary school, the Coast Guard is coming and doing a huge water safety training for our community as well. We had them in the high school last week doing it with our kids. On the 11th, they're going to come do it with all the elementary kids. They went out, and I just said, hey, can you help me with this? They got all the training. They got us extra preservers, all that kind of stuff to give our kids some much-needed water safety training. But we're going to have it 5:30 to 7 that night. We're going to turn it into a winter literacy night, too. So I want to personally invite all of you, too, to come by and just read with our kids. Just share your love of learning and to see a lot of what this council and this city funds working. And, you know, just our kids would love to have you there.
Well, thank you. And further announcements? Is there anyone on the phone or in writing? Comment?
No, sir. I just wanted to remind council members to submit your CMMP rankings, priority rankings. So those who haven't submitted, our deadline is by the Thanksgiving, but hopefully before you could, yes, before that day we could have it.
Good, yes. Homework to do before you leave.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for that. I was going to announce that. That's fine. Having completed all of our business items on the agenda, we are adjourned at 9:07. Good night, Unalaska.